is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Tuesday. I think it's the 26th of April. This is Chris Plunkett, and this is the Disaster Recovery Hour. We are going to, I got a buddy of mine in the studio today. We'll get to him in a little bit. Just to talk about some recent stuff, our thoughts and hearts go out for the people in Arkansas down Tornado Alley down there, which is not even, it seems like Tornado Alley is getting expanded from the middle of the west. Now it's going down south. And I was in Tennessee a couple of months ago. I was inside a tornado. That's, I think I was saying about a couple weeks ago. That's some heavy stuff. So, it used to hit trailer parks. It's hitting homes now. I don't know why. I don't think that's global warming. I just think people can afford homes now instead of trailers. So, and also with the guys from the academy, they're on their computers throughout the country, all the way down to Mississippi, out to California. There was 26 of us in there, and they are now lifelong friends. And this academy thing I keep on referencing is I teamed up with a national franchise called Service Master. And we were in talks for a couple of months prior to me joining. I'm an individualist. I like to have my own fingerprints on my work. As you know, I do. I do a disaster recovery work, emergency service work after fires and floods. And, for me to join, nothing wrong with franchises, but I wanted to have control. And we came to a happy medium, and so things are moving quite nicely and moving quickly. Rather, there's also a lot of schooling which I did with the academy, and there's still a lot of educational ends, which is good because just gets me more a little more well rounded with the emergency service business. And so again, to the guys, get the guys, get the guys in Mississippi all the way out to the West Coast. And I also want to thank last week's guests. You had Jim Arnett and Steve Neary. They were from WANDA, which is the World Association of Natural Disaster Awareness and Assistance. That was a great show. These guys were jacked up. Like most of my guests, they got a lot of passion. It is a nonprofit. They're making some moves internationally and locally on the standpoint, the U.S. I should say. So they're doing they own car dealerships. So they're running a business during the week, like I am. And they got the same passion that I have about making people aware of being prepared. And Paul's going to tell a story later on about it. I think an 8 or 9 year old girl making a disaster preparedness plan for school. That's a great story because Jim and I and Steve were talking about it last week about educating the young kids. They're doing it, which is a great thing, like with the DARE program. You know what? I don't think kids are too young to learn about some of these things. So. And kids are real detailed, because mom and dad can get a little caught up with the regular life stuff, soccer games and basketball games. I know my wife and I are always going in two different directions, and I will say hello to my wife. She is listening with her first grade class. So, when we had this conversation, my wife and I, about the preparedness, I don't think they're really too young to learn. So with that said, there's a lot of things cooking in the news, and Japan is still on the forefront of it. And unfortunately, I don't think the boys overseas and the women overseas are getting enough ink, in my opinion. There was another soldier that got killed this past week. He's from Jersey. Kid had a bright future, a very smart kid. He was in the Army. We got Kate and we got the Royals and such. I don't know. It's again, at the beginning of the program, it talks about the opinions of the following program are not of the station. So it is my opinion. I think guys and women that are serving our country that are not getting the ink they deserve. That's for sure. And the everyday first responders, your police and your firemen. Carrying all this coverage, and I just don't get it. I don't know if it's a male thing or what, but as an American, I think there's some more importance in other directions. We have the 1-800 number here. If you anything we discuss over the following program, the next hour, call in. Even if there's something that's unrelated to the particular program, maybe I can answer it, or maybe in the following week I can answer it. The number is 800-962-1160. That's 800-962-1160. On the dial, it's AM 1160. I know you're that. A lot of people do listen through the computer, though. So If you wanted to do also the common page, you know, Bill's manning the computer. That's drhradio.com, and then go to the comments page. We will throw out some Facebook and Twitter. Paul's going to talk about how some of the things we're going to talk about in the part of the program about kits and being prepared. There might have a couple giveaways. It's going to be a good show. So regarding the little girl and what we talked about last week with nonprofits and it's just not in the forefront, and I'm going to tell you a story about a job that I'm working on. There's a large psychological portion to fires and floods and people being displaced from their homes. And it's a fine line of juggling, because, you know, when you take somebody out of their element, emotions run high, and people feel kind of left out. And one of the challenges that I have, and I think I do it pretty well, when dealing with these losses, these emergencies with people's lives, and including businesses, I'm not going to include the businesses, is that all of a sudden, there's nothing there. There's no normal. And again, there's no comfort zone. So being prepared psychologically and emotionally when you go through this, it's you have a lot less anxiety if you have a preparedness plan, you know, in your back pocket. So if you do have a fire in your home or in your business or you have a flood and you have a plan, there is that less. There'll be less anxiety and less emotion and less distraught if, you know, at the end of this disaster, if you had this plan in place. So it's a constant, you know, like I said, the show is almost a public service announcement. I mean, I got a buddy at the state police who's now moved over to FEMA, Nick Marisi. He's a communications director, and he's, you know, his number one job is to make people aware and the public about being prepared, because you're going to have X amount of minutes or however long it's going to take for your first responders to show up, or even, you know, forget about the first responder, even your communication line with your insurance companies, or your management companies, or the municipalities. There's going to be a lapse in time, which it's almost like doggy years. It's going to take forever for someone to get back to you. But if you can resort back to having that plan and say, okay, this is what they told me to do. I'm going to do A, B, and C. Okay, so that gets rid of that. And as you go through your list of things that you've had down on paper, and those emergency contact phone numbers, you'll see, like, you know, when you're a kid going through college or high school or grade school, whatever, being prepared for a test, you're not worried. You're not having the sweaty palms going into a test, you know. So when you're going through, this is real life stuff. You know, okay, this is what I have. This is what I'm going to do. Okay, I did that. I did this. You know, before you know it, you executed your plan. People are going to come in and start taking care of whatever they need to take care of, you know, whatever it may be, you know, with the fires or floods. And you have your contractors come in. But, you know, having the plan in place alleviates anxiety. So the emotion is a less traumatic experience for you. So these are the things that we're pounding on the program, and a lot of the guys, a lot of the guests, a lot of the gals that I'll have on in the future. It's about preparedness. And next week we're gonna have the Long Island contingency planners. That's gonna be a great show with Patty Bloom and one of her associates, and they're talking about corporations and municipalities on a large standpoint. But you can, if you break it down, take little bites. It's applicable to everyday life, to your home or to your small business, your pizzeria, or your deli. So with that said, I think we're going to go take a little break, bring in my guest, Paul Faust, like I said, from 1-800-PREPARE.com. Also, the phone number is 800-962-1160, and the comments page is drhradio.com. Be right back. We'll be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett. Now it's going to be Disaster Preparedness and Recovery Hour. Got to get used to that. And again, it makes good sense. Makes good. It makes a nice sandwich, if you will. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon. It's a little after one. We got 1:15, one something like that. I was talking about my guest for next week, who was his Long Island contingency planners. Paul Faust is in the studio today with me. Paul is the owner of 1-800-PREPARE.com. They make emergency service kits for the public, and also they've done some private corps and also the military. He and I were talking a little while ago about being in the preparedness business and being caught off guard, which reminds me of. In my business, let's go with last month on the March 4th, 5th, and 6th, and 7th when we had the two big heavy rainstorms. You know, you get all these phone calls, you got to come to my house, I'm flooding out, pump out water, so on and so forth. I mean, you only have so much equipment. You only have so much personnel. And then after a while, you just got to turn it off and say, listen, I can't get to you till Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it may be. So that's one of the things that we contend with when these emergencies happen on a large scale, these cat jobs, catastrophe jobs, what they call in the insurance business, and they get these cat duty adjusters and such like that. So to flip it over to what Paul and I were talking about, now Paul and I were talking about Japan, because I said, you know, what have you been up to the last month? I haven't spoken to you, blah, 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 blah. And he's been pulling his hair out because they got an overload with the Japan and kits and their regular clients, and then the clients who come out of left field who are major players on the economic standpoint, the big corporations and stuff like that. So the prepared guy also has to have a contingency plan to when these large scale disasters happen. So with that leads me into Paul. Thanks a lot for coming in the show again.
My pleasure.
Like I said, Paul is the owner of 1-800-PREPARE.com. Paul, why don't you give, I know we spoke a couple, three weeks ago, something like that, but you had just gotten in from San Diego. I know you were talking, you were out there educating some people, with the downwind, if you will, from, out there in Japan with the nuclear waste or nuclear cloud, or if you will, the hysteria that was hitting the left coast, the west coast, whatever you want to talk about it. So, but let's talk about the Japan thing. Why don't you ramp us up and tell me how you guys got called in on that, and what do you guys do?
Well, great question. You know, we didn't really, so to speak, get called in on the Japan.
Yeah.
You know, Japan, kind of caught everybody off guard. You know, we preach this message of preparedness and, you know, look at your family plans and have the kits and supplies you need, and you never know when things could happen. And, you know, you say the message over and over again. The government's been saying it. We just never thought that everyone would decide to do it on the same day. Nobody plans for a Japan, a triple catastrophe, so to speak, in an instant. And when something like that happens, all of a sudden, everything gets thrown out of whack. All the people that have heard the message of preparedness, who've procrastinated, found a reason not to do it, now they're kind of staring at their TV all day long, and now they all want to do it at the same minute. And so, quite frankly, we got caught off guard, as did the entire industry, because there's just no way to supply that amount of people that quickly when they're in a panic mode. I mean, there were literally people that were in that panic mode.
Yeah, it's America, you know, so everybody wanted it yesterday. So I'm sure your regular clients and Joe Citizen wanted it yesterday. So how did you contend with that?
You know, we kind of worked around the clock. We worked very closely with many different suppliers. You know, there were some things that our hands were just tied on. You know, it wasn't not being able to answer the phone or answer people's questions. You know, look, quite frankly, I talked a lot of people out of racing to buy stuff. You know, it was kind of trying to calm down some of the panic. But our hands were tied because there's only a certain amount of supplies. There's items that goes in kits. When the food and water disappears, you can't make kits anymore. When backpacks disappear, so there's a whole chain that has to work together to be able to, you know, get this stuff out. And some of it, quite frankly, was about prioritizing. I had to make decisions that there were offices in Japan that needed supplies. They were having, you know, and they still have today, more earthquakes and more rumbles. Mm. And so you had to try and juggle getting the right stuff to the right people as quick as possible.
Mm. If you just join us, this is Disaster Recovery Hour, in the future to be disaster preparedness and recovery. But 1-800-962-1160, that is the phone number. You want to ask Paul a couple of questions or myself, go to the drhradio.com comments page. Paul, so we talked about, you know, you're getting flooded with all these calls. You already have your staple of clients, and then you have new clients, and definitely a new client, you don't want them slipping through your fingers, contending with that. And you said I'm taking it, you treat it like triage. What was more important in the vicinity of the Japan and the aftermath?
Yeah, in some respects, very good relevancy, looking at it like triage, trying to figure out the most important and you know, trying to make your own decisions. It's the key was really managing fear and managing expectations. You know, having to talk people down that you're okay. I respect the fact that you've decided to make a decision to get more prepared. It's the right decision, but you're okay. A nuclear cloud is not going to overcome the United States tomorrow. So it was a lot of it about managing expectations and people's worries, and, you know, encouraging them to continue the process of preparedness, but just kind of get them off the ledge a little bit. We did a lot of that, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just kind of talking to people, communicating with them. It's in this country, we're very good at reacting. The wildfires in the backyard, we want to talk about what we should have. I always ask people, you know, what is the most important thing in preparedness you have? What's the most, and people say food, they say water, they say clothes. No, the answer is time. The most important asset you have is time, and if you use it wisely, most disasters, you know, I don't want to say they tend to be non-factors, but you can get through them.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
When you wait to, you know, if you, we talked about, I think, on an earlier show, in Katrina, all the people that heard it, that heeded the early warning from, you know, got in their cars, drove a couple hours up north, stayed in a hotel, no problem. They took advantage of time. It was the people that didn't listen that got caught.
Right.
So,
Yeah. By the way, it's drhradio.net. I'm a little dyslexic sometimes when it comes to these call signs and this social media stuff. But I'll tell you one thing: social media got you and I together. Not to say that we're dating, but it is a very good avenue for getting the message out there, and that's about preparedness. And you're right with the Katrina thing. It's, you know, no one talks about the fact that, you know, the government said get out of town. You know, they all are talking about is how the government wasn't there to save the people that were still stuck there. And that's going to be, you know, even with the wildfires, you know, people are there trying to, you know, water down their own homes. You know, it's a home. It's not life. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, you know, it's a little late. And, you know, one of our gentlemen on our board of advisors, General Russell Honore, talks about a lot of states, towns have these. Well, they have good evacuation plans of how we're going to get people out of the city. But one thing that a lot of towns and a lot of municipalities lack is, how are we going to get the right people back in? So you have a situation like a Katrina, you get everybody out, but there's certain people, the guys who get the phones operating, the guys who get the power, the hospitals, the police. We want to have a plan to get people back to get the city up and running to manage a disaster. Those are issues that we have to look at in the entire scope, not necessarily something I do, but as a society, as a government, as, you know, it's a big issue. And we just have to look at it seriously. Because it just makes sense.
All right. And I was last week's guest, we were talking about that little girl, you were talking about it, but last week these guys were talking about his daughter being in the pool, and he said, you know, black cloud out of the pool. You know, something simple, you know, KIS, keep it simple, stupid. So, you know, she sees that, she's out of the water. Those little things you start implementing, and you know what, that you as an adult, at least in my mind, you know, you practice, you know, you're a ball player, you practice foul shooting. After a while, you know, it's just second nature. You sink the ball. So preparedness is not one of our strong suits, and ever since I've got into this business, I've learned something this past week about being prepared. So one of the driving forces I see is municipalities. I think if you take the small guy, and they're able to handle their municipality and their OEM guy, who's usually a local guy, you know, who lives in the town. Some guys live out of town. Some of the law enforcement guys who become OEM directors, they don't live in town, but most of them live in town. If you take care of your own stuff, like you said in the past, which you know, our side combos is will help the greater, you know, the bigger picture. You know, okay. You know, Westwood's taken care of, or, you know, wherever you live in Westchester, your town is taken care of. You know, that's the county guys start to say, you know what, they got their act together over here. You know, we're going to have to pay attention to, you know, Smallville over here, who just doesn't heed the warning about being prepared and taking care of their own stuff. So, I think that's that goes across the country, you know, caught off guard. And you, as a first responder, you're a volunteer fireman. I want to hear that story about the girl you were talking about. Before we go to break, we have five minutes. Give me that story.
I'll tell you quick, sir, because to me, this is what preparedness is. Had an alarm, I think it was two nights ago, 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, fire alarm that came in, possible structure fire. I responded. It happened to be a power surge that hit the lines and literally blew the smoke detectors off of this home in the middle of the night. But we get to the house. There turns out to not be a fire, but the family's outside, all huddled together. And it just so happens that this young girl, as a class project that was due the next day, put together an entire preparedness plan for her family based on if there was a fire in the home. Does everybody have multiple escape routes? Do they know them? Do they know where their meeting spot outside would be? And this is a project that she happened to do. Now, I bet you she didn't think that she was going to need it the day before it's due. But you know what? It made this middle of the night, 1 o'clock, you're sleeping incident less traumatic. They didn't have to think about three different kids. They all knew what to do simply because a young girl in school put together a plan. They heard the alarms go off. They knew exactly where to go, where to meet. Now, look, in the fire service, you've heard the story of a house fire, five people in the family, four are outside. One goes back in to get the fifth one, unfortunately perishes in the fire. Turns out the fifth one was already outside in the backyard. So these are the little things. What did it take this girl to do as a class project? Simple class project on her own family plan. It came into play that day. So these are the little steps of preparedness where I always tell people, it's just about do this thing now, every 6 months, run through with your family, make some tweaks, maybe run it as a drill. And when the incidents happen, they'll become less traumatic and you will have a better chance at surviving, being less injured, both emotionally and physically. Mm. So, you know, it was amazing. It came right into my face. And, you know, I spoke to the girl and told her how proud I was of her, and to share that with every other kid. Because, look, where did we all learn stop, drop, and roll from? It wasn't our parents. They taught the kids in school, and we all learned it and brought it home. If we can get the kids involved in preparedness, they'll bring it into the houses. They'll tell their parents about it.
Yeah, it's there was a class I took and it's HazWOP. It's a hazardous material emergency response. It's pretty lengthy. It was online, and then I had to do some field stuff with it. But the what you were talking about, the one child who's in the backyard, the fifth family member, and the other person goes in and they perish. There's a 60% chance of the person going to save the unknown winds up perishing, and that's from going into a construction site that someone possibly could have gotten buried, or into a manhole. And you've done drills where, you know, the carbon monoxide's and the gas is inside sewer lines. Guys go down unprotected. They're not, then, because they have no contact, and they come back up and they don't come back up. You know, so those numbers are real. You know, you can kick tires and touch them there, that these guys or first responders or people that are trying to do the right thing wind up dying because there wasn't a plan in place to see where that other person might be. The number here at the show is 800-962-1160. It is AM 1160, the voice, WVNJ, Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. There's my first time saying it without spitting up on the mic. We're going to go to a commercial break, come back, some more info and intel coming from Paul Faust, 1-800-PREPARE.com.
Attorney Michael Guidreau is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidreau is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least 1 in 4 businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. It's Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. It is WVNJ, The Voice, AM 1160. Today's guest is Paul Faust. Paul Faust is the owner of 1-800-PREPARED.com. Paul is, I'm a lucky guy because I met Paul several months ago, and he's got an energy that's unmatched. He's an enthusiastic guy, an intelligent guy. Got a lot of knowledge about the preparedness business, and he told me to say all that stuff. I don't really believe any of it, but he'll do. So we do have a comments page, which is drhradio.net.com, and we have a telephone number if you want to call in, 800-962-1160. Paul, I want to talk about, you know, the kits, because we gotta it's about pounding and about your enthusiasm about teaching people to be prepared, and the little girl being prepared and how proud you were. You know what? It wasn't about something. It wasn't being like that. You know, that emotion, and you being a fireman, a first responder. Putting out a fire, it's all great and dandy, but to save the life or to save that certain thing, it's exhilarating, I'm sure, for you. But I want to talk about the kits that you sell, and the manufacturers that you work with, and the message that we're trying to get out there about being prepared. Yeah, you have your written documentation, which I've learned in the last couple of months with this hazardous material classes that I've had to take, and site safety and OSHA and EPA. There's all this site safety plans, and you got to have it in effect. You got to teach your employees, so on and so forth. But But the kit is something, Harry homeowner can buy, and you have a couple. You have a little info page to it that they can really alleviate that initial anxiety when something goes sideways, if you will. So tell me about the kit, the process of making the kit, and how you're getting the message out.
Great, that's a great question. Look, there's a lot of different kits you could have on the market, and what we're encouraging people to do is. A kit is one important component. If you listen to the message, it's get a kit, which is a kit and supplies, have a plan and be informed. And on our site at 1-800-PREPARE.com, we are posting articles on how to prepare, how to make a family plan. When it comes to kits, it's a start. We're not telling everybody, hey, get a kit and you're done. A kit is the basic supplies that you would need to either shelter in place for 3 days and or evacuate and have the basic supplies you might need, food, water, warmth, light, to signal help. So we encourage, as does everybody else, every single person should have a kit in their home for the members of their household, in their vehicles, and at their place of work. We also strongly encourage corporations. You go to companies nowadays and you'll see companies buying dinners and taking their employees out to ball games and buying everybody the latest wireless mouse pad. What more important thing to hand your employees than a preparedness kit in their office that they can keep? What more important thing that says we care about you and we know that you are our most important asset, mm-hmm. not our building? Look, it's not over there anymore. It's not Japan. We've seen Japan, Haiti, Chile. St. Louis Airport was just destroyed. Right. We saw a hurricane in Florida shut that airport. New York, it's blackouts, ice storms, terror attacks. You never know what's going to happen. So I'm shocked when I go to companies that, and I see what they buy these people and the latest artwork and this. Why not get every employee a kit, have them keep it in their office? When something happens, if it happens, they feel empowered. They can at least fend for themselves. So again, kits have the basic items. We have them in all different sizes for the vehicle, for the home. If there's something you see that you think should be there that you don't see, call us. Call 1-800-PREPARE. Go to 1-800-PREPARE.com. We want to hear your suggestions.
Yeah, I think office managers, they have a contingency plan, at least I think they do, for their departments, the AR department or the marketing department. There's a manager there, and they know the numbers of what they're producing and how much money is owed to us, how much money do we owe people, or what was the last sales quota, did you meet it? They have those things in place, but if they're not there, you know, what's the point, right? Like you said, they're the employees are the largest asset. And reminding me about St. Louis, the jump all over the place, because I'd be a little wacky like that. Josh Cass is working long and hard at the St. Louis airport. He's a guy I went to the academy with, so and I know he listens on the computer. It's not now, but his office is. So hopefully he's doing the Lord's work out there, getting the airport rocking and rolling. But so with the kid, I know, you know, okay, we got to buy something to be prepared, but there's all, like you said, it's not about the kid. It's just one part of the kid. So when you're talking to people, okay, here's the thing that you can touch. You can touch this thing right here, but here's what you got to do also with that.
Right.
And that's, so what's part of that also, that plan that you like to get out there?
Well, look, you can come to our site and buy a ready-made kit that gives you kind of a good head start. If you're one of those people that wants to build your own kit and you want to come to our site and buy individual items, or maybe even go around locally and get them in your own kit, you can build it over time. But what I encourage people to do is, when you get a kit, whether you get it, you build it, you buy it, when it shows up, it's a great time to think about, okay, what happens around here? Where do I live? What are the most likely things that might happen in my area? Is it a hurricane? Is it a flood? Is it a fire? Could it be, if you live in, you know, in the vicinity of a nuclear plant and they have to evacuate? Take a couple minutes. It doesn't take a lot of time. Engage your family with it. Think about it. Hey, where would we go if? What room would I go to if we had to evacuate? Where would we go? It doesn't take a lot of time to think about this stuff. And also, take a minute to write it all down. Your important information. Who to call. Your important, we talk about this all the time, your important documents, insurance, mortgage papers, bank accounts, contacts, stored in written format, stored on hard drive, computer format, and stored in another location. You know, in a disaster, getting back that information is critical to getting your life back in line. So, you know, the kits we have, one component, knowledge is another. And taking a little bit of time each day to just think about it. And talk about it with your friends and family, your coworkers, your employees, will go a long way to changing your preparedness levels.
You know, I got something up on the question from one of our listeners, Yumi, and Yumi says, "Is there a store to buy the kits or only online?"
With our kits, it's only online. Again, at 1-800-PREPARE.com. There are some communities, and there are places that do have retail stores. We don't have a retail presence yet. Now, as part of a promotion today only, you know, if you happen to go to 1-800-PREPARE.com and you do want to make a purchase, when you check out, there's a spot to enter a coupon code. Today only, if you use the coupon code DRH for Disaster Recovery Hour, you will get a 15% discount off of whatever you purchase. That is today only. So, it's one way to do it. If, you know, I don't know where you're calling from or where your question's from, but there are some retail places. Look, that's something we're trying to change. I think they should be in every store, and we're actively working on that now.
And Paul and I were talking, we want to try to collaborate where we could we can assist in getting these out. I mean, he owns the company, and if I can facilitate that even further with the show, and Paul will be a regular guest, not a guest, but you know, my brother here on the, because he's taught me a lot of things in the last couple of months as I've known him. I always come in after the fact. So, and then I say, okay, and I don't browbeat anybody about you should have this in place or that in place. But if you could be prior to meeting me, if you have some form of plan, that's going to be great. And I think Paul's assisting me with, so actually, you know, when I get out there and after these fires and floods, I've learned some things from Paul and as a first responder. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour, Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour, and we are AM 1160, The Voice, WVNJ. Please give us a call. Paul's a chatty guy. I'm a chatty guy. That's why we're on the radio, 800-962-1160. I think about, you know, just not the kits, but I think about, you know, how do I help these people never to see me again, basically. You know, so it's always like, you want to meet me personally, you don't want to meet me professionally. Some of the stories that you and I have bounced off each other, like I said, I'm always after the fact, but prior, you know, you doing your drilling as a fireman, why don't you kind of give us a synopsis of what you guys are preparing for? Are there many, many different scenarios, or is a common theme? Do you do it demographically, like you were talking about where you live? If you live in the Midwest, it might be hurricanes, tornadoes. Over here, we could have possible hurricanes and God forbid, terrorist attacks again. So what are the kind of things that you guys drill with?
Are you talking about in the fire service?
Yeah.
Well, look, in the fire service, it's just like we're telling citizens. We're trying to drill on the things we're going to see in our community. In most communities, in volunteer fire departments, you don't see a lot of active fires. You know, it's a good thing. You don't see a lot of car accidents. So if you're not drilling all the time in how to lay hose, how to stretch it to the right location, how to handle search, how to, vent, it becomes stale. You know, you could effectively not be at an active fire for years. Maybe you're out of town the day it happens. So the day the incident happens isn't the time to go, oh my God, I forgot how to hit a hydrant. I forgot how to, how to stretch the hose inside or where I'm supposed to be. So a lot of what we do is just keeping it second nature, drilling, and then throwing in what ifs. Okay, we just lost the water supply. We have a lost firefighter. So again, it goes back to the same preparedness that we encourage people to do. This young girl, I don't know how old she is. Maybe she was 11, 12. Never had a fire in her house. So how is she supposed to know evacuation plans?
Mm-hmm.
So it's drilling on things so they become more second nature. I read a great book, and I do this, and I encourage everyone to do this every time you fly. How many of us have flown, and we see the flight attendants get up and do the preparedness procedure, how to put on your mask, how to evacuate, where the exits are? Well, if you read the facts, the facts are quite simple, that there are plenty of people in emergency situations on an airplane who panic, even because they don't pay attention. So they don't read, when something happens, they don't know where the exits are. They don't take their belt off. They don't put on their mask. So what I do now, I've flown a million times. I know it. When they're up there, I take out that card to follow on, and I hold it up so everyone else can see that I'm looking at it. And if I can get one other person or two other people to go, well, I wonder why he's reading it. I talked to people next week, why are you looking at it? I said, I know what I'm supposed to do. But I want other people to do it, because I might know how to get off this plane, but if you're in my way, I got a big problem. So, it's how many times have we all flown? Nothing happens until the time it does, and I don't want panic to set in.
Yeah, no, I definitely stop, pay attention. I know some of the people are looking for the drink cart, but that's not until you get to 35,000 feet. So I do. I read it, being prepared. In that Sully flight going down on the Hudson, there's guys on there said, I've flown a million times, and they weren't prepared, because there's different exits, different size planes, and there's a lot of different scenarios with the different size of the airplanes. For me, in the last 10 years, I don't see as many fires as I used to, and I'm wondering, because of the fire prevention, Captain Dan O'Brien, he's a captain in a volunteer fire department up here in Bergen County. When the spring ahead, fall back, when the change of clocks, check your fire, check your smokes and your COs. Change the batteries. They're hardwired, but still do the backups with the batteries. So I don't see as many fires. We're gonna answer a question, go to a break, and I want to talk to you about what you've been seeing lately. Dave, what's the most common cause of a house fire that Paul has seen, and what's the best thing a homeowner can do to prevent the house fire? So in your opinion, my friend, what is it?
In my experience, and every community is different, I think it tends to still be the same things. One, chimney fires, still very big, and very simply, homeowners should make it a habit of having the chimneys professionally cleaned. If it's not once a year, once every other year, depending on how many fires you light, because there's built up of creosote in there, which can cause fires. That's a big cause of house fires. The other two common ones you see are dryer fires, not cleaning out that line of lint.
Oh, boy.
And also, we still see it, which is crazy, overloaded outlets, people putting too many things into an outlet or into a circuit that they shouldn't, and eventually it goes. So homeowners should look at those things. There are power strips, surge protectors. Highly recommended. The one comment I always want to make to people, because I hear it all the time, if you have a fire in your house, look, I'm not going to ever tell anybody at your home, don't try and put out the fire. But if you have a fire in your house, I don't care how small you think it is, call the fire department first. Get them on the road on the way. Once they're on the way and everyone's out of the house, if you want to try and put it out with your own extinguisher safely, you know, you're between the fire and the exit and you can get out. Hey, I'm not going to say don't do, you know, that you have to make that decision, but call, get help on the way. Cause if you try it on your own and you fail and then you call, you've lost the critical time. It could be a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It could be the difference between losing the whole house and having it saved. So, you know what to do, get everyone out and then do it, you know, what you think is best.
Yeah, you know, that is actually verbatim, practically verbatim, except with a Westchester twang to it, that Captain Dan and Chief Fedorchuk said a couple of months ago when I was with them. It's the same thing. Call the fire department. Again, let's go to a commercial break, but it's, again, you know, being prepared. It's The Voice, AM 1160, Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. Be right back.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Hi, this is Kate Valentine of the Kate Valentine UFO Show. Thank you for joining us on our journey for answers. We are traveling to you on the radio waves, the internet, and by podcasts.
Kate Valentine's UFO Show. Watching strange visitors that come in.
The UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Thank you to our sponsors who have supported the show and our journey for answers.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat, at least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that. Stanton proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch. Truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
We're back. We're coming down to the end of the show. It is WVAJ, The Voice, AM 1160. And the show is Disaster Preparedness Recovery Hour. There we go. We got the still get a little tongue tied. We do have another question from Jay. Are there companies that will make disaster plans for small businesses? There are. Paul will answer his side, but there are some companies out there. I think you should listen next week because you're going to get an earful from Long Island chapter of contingency planners. There's chapters all over the place. There's the New York, there's the Jersey, and the Bergen County, and the Sussex County, and then the Orange County, and all the rest that are around our whole metropolitan area. But there's a stock number of things that they all do. So next week's show is going to be real good and encompasses everything from the property side to the displacement and getting employees to certain areas and people. So with the IT end of it, it's going to be a real good show. Paul, do you run into as a volunteer fireman? Do you talk to local businesses? I was having a conversation with an associate of mine about how I think there should be floor plans given to every volunteer or paid fire department, for that matter. Some guys get lost. I mean, people redo their buildings or redo their homes, and the floor plan's not the same. I mean, that's hence the reason why you should go get permits when you do something in your house. So what about you? As a department, do you interface with local businesses and say, hey, listen, besides the regular fire protection, are there plans or do you know what's happening in their businesses when you counteract with that? Like dry cleaners, for example. I mean, you got hazardous materials.
It's a great question. I mean, I'm a volunteer firefighter. I'm not an officer or a chief, but I can tell you that the officers and the chiefs of the department in most departments are very active in pre-planning, trying to pre-plan out the larger structures, getting them into computers, getting templates in. So most departments do work on it, pre-planning their major sites, the schools, the commercial properties, and also trying to do the residentials as well. So it is a big part of the fire service. From Jay, it's a great question. Yes, there are companies that do it. There's a lot of companies that do it depending on what you need and where you are and what kind of business. You could certainly, if you want to email me directly to paul@1800prepare.com or go, call us at 1-800-PREPARE. I will, you can tell me more about what you're looking for and I could, try and give you some ideas as to what I would do. But yes, there are companies that specifically do disaster plans for businesses.
Yeah, and to echo that about next week, listen to that, because the contingency planners are, it's a big corp, and it's they're looking at grand scale, but Paul could probably stick you in the right direction for small businesses. Small businesses are 80% of the GNP in this country. They employ the majority of the people in this country. Like myself, I have employees. You have employees. It's not the we all talk about 5,000 people getting laid off from a manufacturer of cars and such and so, but unfortunately it kind of can brutalize a local economy. But Jay, yeah, definitely good question. Before we're winding up, some of the things that are happening for the future or going to happen in the future, Paul, why don't you, with 1-800-PREPARE, and I know you got your fingers in some other things, some exciting preparedness world things. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, what we're really focusing on is bringing out, number one, newer and different kits for different kind of situations to cover more people. We are also going through an entire site redesign that will take some time because we really want the site to be the resource where you can go and download forms, you could watch videos on preparedness, you could ask questions. So, it's our constant push to educate, to equip, to partner with other companies in the industry that share a common message of preparedness. And I think together the voice is louder. So, we're constantly moving forward to add new things and new services, new products. So please check back with us. We happen to have I know you do as well. We have a Facebook fan page called Preparing for Life's What Ifs. I encourage you to go there. Fan us, like us. You'll read a lot of information. And I believe that, you have your own fan page for the show.
Yes.
And as I told you, you can announce what that fan page is. And, anybody that'll go fan that page now. Over the next couple of days, we will randomly select. You can randomly select some of your fans, and we'll give out some preparedness kits for people who are fans of the page.
Well, there's the way this fan page and the Facebook and the Twitter, they're all part of the same pizza, isn't it? It's amazing. You click on this and you get connected over there. but yes, yeah, so there is the Facebook and there is the Twitter, and both are facebook.com and twitter.com/drhradio.com. Mary's on the Mary's got a question for us, but I can answer it. And Paul, as a volunteer fireman, he can definitely sum it up with putting out a fire. It says Mary's question is: our home was built 45 years ago. How safe is the wiring? Big question. We lived in it for 20 years, and it seems to me I'm always plugging in more things. Well, that's what we do, don't we? We'd like to put things in, get some get power going. Should people give their electric system tune-ups? You should have. If you have a local guy, Mary, I don't know where you're calling from, but unfortunately, I make a living by coming to homes that are 45 years old that the wiring has not been updated. It's a tragedy. It's expensive. That's probably one of the things that the people shy away from. So yes, you should. If you don't have a local guy, or where are you calling from? I don't know. If you're in Bergen County, I have a great guy. You know, he's one of Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric and Electrical Power Systems. He's also a captain and a volunteer fireman. So you should give him a ring if you're in the Bergen County area. Paul, you've seen this many times. We all live in the same area. You know, that Mercedes-Benz commercial, you know, talk about, you know, we understand. We live here, too. So up there in Westchester, you guys got your fair share of 45-year-old homes.
Yeah, no, look, I agree with the point you made. And I, you know, the one thing I disagree with is...
You disagree with me?
Yeah, believe it or not. it's not expensive. The fact of the matter remains, the cost of preparation is significantly less than the cost of recovery afterwards. So taking the time now to look at an old home, calling in a qualified electrician, look, he might go through the system and say, the electric's fine. It might not be the electric that's bad. It might be that you have 60 things plugged into one outlet. So to take the time to look at it, repair what could be a cracked wire or a faulty outlet, and that electrician will probably tell you where you're overloaded, a lot smarter and safer than potential loss of life, mm-hmm. potential loss of everything you own, your family security, because you didn't want to spend a couple dollars now, but then that fire in the middle of the night. Look, the worst case scenario is you just lose your home. It could be worse.
Right.
So absolutely, have someone take a look at it. I'm not a
And contract. You are correct. You are definitely correct. It is not that expensive on that side. But you should have checked that, and somebody that you know, or somebody they could recommend, because you know what, economic downturn, people don't want to part with their money because there's not a whole lot of money to part with anymore. With that said, we got a couple minutes to go in the show. I think it was a good show. I think Paul's going to be a big part of the program. I'm glad to meet him in the preparedness world. Paul was talking just before the question, the future. And it looks pretty bright, and I think it's going to look pretty good for both of us. Also, we'll team up on some projects. With that said, Paul, you got any final words until the following program?
Yes, my final words is what we said from the beginning. Use the time you have now. You know, if you've thought about kits, if you've thought about a preparedness plan, if you thought about updating your wiring system, do it. You know, if you want to get a kit and you want to visit us at 1-800-PREPARE.com. Take the time now to do it. Don't wait until the next disaster when everybody wants to get it the same day and the next minute. Use the asset of time to take those steps now. That's my parting message for you today. Oh, and Mary, one more. If you got a 45-year-old home, so do your neighbors. Get together with a group of you. Hire one electrician. You'll get a better price.
See, there you go. Now it's speaking like a true fireman. But with that, like I said, it's a good show. It's AM 1160 WVNJ. It's The Voice. Don't forget these numbers. It's 800-962-1160 for next week's show. Tune in for that next week because I think it's going to be have a lot of a lot of information on a grand scale. Remember, take it to you what's applicable to you in your life, in your home, your business, and we'll see you next week. Paul, thanks a lot, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.